Welcome to this episode of the award-winning Best of the Left podcast. This is a sample of our recent bonus episode, usually only available to members. These episodes are comprised of our crew of researchers, Amanda and myself, all getting together for a roundtable discussion on topics that we find interesting. So here's a few minutes for free so you can know what all the fuss is about.
There was a YouTuber prank channel, quote-unquote prank channel, where the pranker got shot, and the person that did the shooting was exonerated in court because the video showed him just harassing, like, I think it was a Uber Eats driver, and he's just picking up some food at a mall, and this pranker, who was a very large man, he's like 6'4", 6'5", and the guy that shot him was just a smaller guy, an average-sized guy, and he's filming him just, I don't even know what he was trying to say, but he's, you know, just got multiple people filming him. He's fumbling him on his phone, and the guy just kept saying, "Get away from me, get away from me, get away from me." And eventually he pulls out a gun and shoots him, which that's a whole nother can of worms. But after the trial, the YouTuber makes a little statement outside the courtroom, and he says, "Oh, this isn't going to stop me. We're still going to keep making our content. We're just going to keep doing what we're doing." And that was like the ultimate, like, you got shot doing this ridiculous thing,
yeah,
recording strangers in public and their reactions, and you learned no lesson from it. And the end of the NPR article said, like, recording people doing strange things in public might be entertaining, but maybe recording people in public is a strange thing, and maybe you should think about that. Maybe you shouldn't be recording strangers in public. That's odd behavior, and we're normalizing it, but a few years ago, what would you be, like, a peeping Tom? Isn't that what you'd be called?
Yeah.
If you're just recording strangers out in public doing their day-to-day lives, like, that's odd. But now it's
creepy.
It's a normal thing.
Yeah. And I'm going to connect this right back to our original conversation, because what is this but people who want to go viral? And I think we had a discussion when, like, school shootings were happening in the era of they were being recorded and children were, like, whipping out their phones. And we were just kind of contemplating what your reaction in that situation would be and if it would be to record. Mm-hmm. And mine would be no, because I didn't grow up where that was, like, super common. I mean, I'm not going to say, like, pictures, yes, but full videos, that was, like, college to age myself since it's my birthday tomorrow. But I think with this, like, everybody's trying to do that viral thing because they want to be able to do a fun job, if you will. And that's kind of what content creation, I think a lot of people want to do pranks, and they want to have conversations, and they want to interview people, and they want to kind of have a fun job that they enjoy doing. And this is just like capitalism, except for it's awful because now you're in your pursuit of being famous and, like, getting money from content creation, you're harming a person. And you've completely, like, disconnected yourself from the consequences because you're like, what is it but, like, someone tripping? Like, that's funny, but it's just going to be one video of hundreds that I have up, like, without ever thinking that someone's coworkers, families, like, they might be being sent that video as a constant, like, haha, remember this, for, like, years and years to come. And that's awful. Yeah. Like, nobody wants to feel that way.
Yeah. Do you remember there was a meme? It was like Firestarter Girl or something, where, like, there's a house burning in the background. There's, like, a young girl looking kind of menacingly at the camera. Mm-hmm. And years later, she, like, tried to sue to get, like, the ownership of that image because it had kind of ruined her life. And I forget all the details of this, but, like, yeah, where did that photo cut? Like, did her parents upload it? Like, who took that shot? And then it just became iconic in a weird way. And you don't own your image. And that, of course, that bleeds into, like, parents filming their kids too. And that's like the other half of this, right? Is, like,
perfect transition, Amanda, because there is a whole conversation to be had about parents filming their kids. But the other thing we wanted to touch on is parents tracking their kids.
Yeah.
Which is using a lot of the same mechanisms of the internet, but in ways that apparently a lot of adults these days think is totally super legit to, like, very, very intimately track their kids. Even, I mean, I was shocked that we weren't just talking about tweens here, that like people are tracking their college students. And
yeah, that stunned me.
And they'll compare, they'll like know their kids' class schedule and track them with, you know, geo-tracking on their phones, and then text them to ask, like, why weren't you in class today? Which completely blows my mind. And this is, you know, again, this is why we keep going back to The Atlantic, because every once in a while they say interesting things. This is the very common, very harmful thing many well-meaning parents do. And yeah, they just get into all the details of how like totally destructive it is to the relationship between a parent and a child, not to mention the like ability for a child to grow up and understand how to navigate the world by themselves without having some like weird panopticon style, like parenting model following them wherever they go. The person writing this article like wrote a whole book about it. Right. And they'll like sit in on these conversations with, you know, a bunch of parents, and you know, they described as like 50-50, like half the parents are like, oh, that sounds bad. And half are like, yes, that's great. Like you should definitely do that. And I will too.
Like full disclosure, this is a future argument / current discussion my wife and I are having. That's going to be a problem. I know it's going to be a problem because I have no desire to do this whatsoever. And my wife has already looked up Life 360 or whatever and thought maybe we should get, no, I do not want to do that at all. I have no desire to do that. And like the selling point of it, it does make sense, right? Like you know where your kids are at, but like if your kids are not in your home, knowing where they're at, you literally can do as many things knowing where they're at as not knowing where they're at if something happens to them. Like maybe if something bad happened, you could get to them quicker, but they're away from you. And that's just that's the goal of parenting, right? Is that you can raise someone that can be strong enough to not be with you anymore. And if they want to spend time with you, great. That's awesome. That's a great bonus. But like if they need to, they can be on their own. And if you are spying on them, then I think that's the right word, spying on them, then will they ever feel like they can be on their own?
They're never going to want to hang out with you. That's for sure.
You know, they definitely won't want to. You know everything about the like the reading their text messages thing. Yeah. Man, I don't want to know what my kid is writing, especially as a teenager. Like thinking back to any time that you, what did you do when you were a teenager? Would you have wanted your parents to know everything about it? No, and you shouldn't have. Like that's part of growing up and becoming an adult is fucking up, learning how to deal with those mistakes and not doing it again. And if you're being nerfed around the world, then when you do make a mistake as an adult, you may have no ability whatsoever to fix it, learn from it, do anything about it, because you haven't tested the waters as a kid.
Well, yeah. And I actually, when I was reading this, thought it tied into a couple of things that were discussed on our episode, what conservatives think of when they think of children, which highly suggests that if you haven't listened to it, you go listen to it. Shout out to Dion for his work on that. But I think inevitably this comes down to control. And it's kind of sad because it is being pushed as caring about your child, but really you're caring about the outcomes that your child can provide. And so like there's so many ways that this seeps into like their schooling, making sure that they're going to class, things like that, instead of teaching them the skills that they need to be successful in an environment such as that, then trusting that you've taught your child and that they're going to do what they will. Like in that episode, I kept having this thought just like going through my head where it's like, this is why you are invested in raising your child. This is why you have conversations with them. This is why you prepare them. And, you know, I think it mentions in the episode I just referenced that they don't want to have hard conversations. They don't want to have conversations with them about sex, about sexuality, about gender expression, about even, I don't even know. I'm like, there's lots of other hard things that,
it's plenty.
Life and the unfairness. And like, yes, you might go to a good school and you still might not make any money and you still might struggle and live paycheck. Like, you don't want to have that conversation with your child. So instead, you try to create a little bubble, box them in, and keep them, quote, like, I don't even know if I would say it's safe, because as we just said, like, if you're in a bubble, you can't make your own decisions when you're released from it. So you're fragile. Not actually safe.
Yeah. Fragile. Keep them yeah. fragile. I can't believe that I didn't think until we started having this conversation that there is an episode of Black Mirror about this.
I thought about. I was going to bring that up. Yeah. A Black Mirror episode from like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
The episode is titled Archangel. It's the second episode of the fourth series of Black Mirror, and it is about an implant. So like a baby is given an implant so that the parents can use it to track their health and location and, you know, everything else about them.
And they can see the video of what they're experiencing in real time.
Oh, right.
Like through their eyes.
And so, I mean, the one piece that stuck out to me is that the mother, who is like addicted to tracking her child because she cannot pull herself away from tracking her child, learns that her daughter is pregnant before her daughter does, and makes the decision spoiler alert for people who are going to go watch it, makes the decision on behalf of the child to like dose her with, you know, an abortion pill, because the mother decided that her teenage daughter shouldn't be pregnant or whatever. And so just like takes the decision completely out of the kid's hands. It's like, it's exactly what you're zeroing in on, is because it's easier than having a difficult conversation.
Yeah.
Like as a parent, you could probably get the same outcome that you want just by talking with your kid and like going through the options, but giving them agency. Like, this is removing agency from children. Yeah. Like, how are those kids going to grow up?
Child autonomy is definitely something that I think doesn't get talked about enough. And it's not necessarily a political push, even though I think this is an issue, again, to reference the episode talking about, you know, things that would be illegal to do to an adult. We've accepted that we're able to do that to children, and it's taking their autonomy away. Like, why wouldn't a parent think that they could track their child? Why would they think that, you know, that was inappropriate? Or again, that there are other ways to have a relationship with your child besides ultimate control. But we kind of live in that environment where it's acceptable.
You know where this all came from? It's funny. My dad and I were talking about the, like, it's 10 p.m. Do you know where your child is? Ads from the 80s and 90s. And now those are like laughable because everyone has a device in their hands that they can use to track their children anywhere they go. Like, you know, the end of that Black Mirror episode, I just wanted to point out, the girl runs away. Once she finds out that her mother has done this and that she's been tracking her every move in like a very creepy way and making her decisions for her without her even knowing, she runs away. And that is the conclusion. And that is very realistic.
Is the right decision?
Yeah.
She's running away from an oppressor. Like, that person did not view her as a child, viewed her as a possession. And that's what all this is about. Like, fundamentally, like that's what this is. And it's hard to admit that, I think, for some people, that that's what they're doing, is that they're trying to create the perfect version of themselves as opposed to creating a new person with thoughts and feelings and cares and concerns and letting them go where they go. Like, you don't want them to end up like in a bad situation. You want to give them all you can give them, but trying to make mini me versions of yourself that fill all the gaps of the whatever you think you lack is, I think, a part of this that is it's difficult for people to admit to themselves that you aren't raising a child. You're trying to create a better version of you.
That's it for today's free sample. There's lots more of that particular episode, as well as there being dozens of past bonus episodes that you get access to in your feed the minute you sign up as a new member. Paying members are who make this entire show possible, and so these bonus episodes are a fun way to say thanks to them for their support. In addition to those full bonus episodes, members also get bonus clips in every single regular episode, as well as there being no ads in the regular show. If you would like to be our newest member, you can sign up at bestofleft.com/support. You can use our Patreon page, or you can do it from right inside the Apple Podcast app, and links to get there are right in our show notes. And if you can't afford membership, I offer free financial hardship memberships. Just drop me an email to j@bestofleft.com and we will get you set up, no questions asked. Or again, to sign up and support the show and our ability to give away free financial hardship memberships, visit us at bestofleft.com/support. Thanks for listening.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pear.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.
You love podcasts. The stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.